Nielsen ranked number one. Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600. Heard on High Ridge, Long Ridge, and all over Stamford. It's Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
And good morning. We get to chat this morning with Senator Richard Blumenthal. And Senator Blumenthal, thanks for coming on. I know it's not your typical day that you're on, but we appreciate it. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me on a Tuesday. Just as good as a Thursday. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Yes, thank you. You as well. Now, a couple of things I wanted to chat with you about, Senator Blumenthal. First of all, I know yesterday you called on Congress, along with other lawmakers, to approve billions of dollars in funding to help distribute the COVID-19 vaccine. What exactly are you calling for that's different than companies like Pfizer at this point calling for dollars to get the vaccine out?
Pfizer and Moderna and soon AstraZeneca, and we hope others, will in fact have vaccines, and some of them will distribute it on their own, but a lot of them will depend on government means of distribution. In other words, moving it from the manufacturer in the loading dock to actual patients, people's arms, where the vaccine will actually do some good. A vaccine itself is practically useless unless it becomes a vaccination that is administered to people and helps save them from the pandemic. And I'm so glad you are back at work. And hopefully this kind of vaccine will prevent this disease from spreading and afflicting other people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the only good thing, if there is even a good thing, of getting COVID is at least knowing that I'm immune to it for a little bit. So, you know, as we're seeing more and more people contracting the virus, at least while we kind of wait for the vaccine to be ready, anyone who does come out of COVID on the other side, does have immunity for a little bit of time. So that at least is a good thing. Do you have any kind of a timeline at this point, Senator? Because I think that continues to be the big question. So say this vaccine is ready by the end of December, early January. For the general public, so not frontline workers, we know that they're first in line, and we know the vulnerable population is next behind them. But for the very general population, when can they ideally, do you think, start seeing a vaccine available to them?
The companies are predicting, and so are the public health experts, that it'll be available during 2021, perhaps by the first half en masse in 2021. But remember, we need the trucks, the freezers, the storage facility, all of the infrastructure plus trained personnel, and the confidence building through communication necessary to move this vaccine once it's manufactured all around the country. So the prediction is that by the end of December, it will be available to some people, not to huge numbers, about 50 million from Pfizer alone. And then by the end of 2021, 1.3 billion, which is going to be major along with the other vaccines.
We're talking to Senator Richard Blumenthal this morning. And another thing I know you're focused on, Senator, as we talk about COVID and the effects that we've seen from it, I know that you and Senator Chris Murphy today are going to be in Middletown talking about getting residents to shop locally. I think it's a good push. I know that we were just talking about it a few minutes ago. The only thing that I'm curious, and maybe you can kind of weigh in on this, is how do you get people to go shopping when we have this constant message from our governor and our national and our state leaders saying stay home whenever possible? So immediately you would think, okay, I'm going to shop online then. So how is it that we strike that balance of supporting our local shops when we're kind of being told, listen, avoid crowds, avoid lines, stay at home as much as possible during the holidays? It's sort of hard to find that middle ground, no?
Really good question. And in fact, it is hard if there are lines at stores. Those lines can occur at big retailers. In fact, maybe more likely than the smaller ones, because a small retailer has the ability to say to people, you know, would you please wait outside until I'm finished with this customer? Or could you please wait at that side of the store? So there are ways to do it safely, plus wearing masks and taking other kinds of precautions. I think it can be done safely.
Senator, do you mind giving us a little bit of insight? Obviously, we don't know exactly the amount of stores, but I know that restaurants, there was a pretty alarming report that came out in regards to 600 or so restaurants in Connecticut that have had to shut down because of COVID. And I was reading this morning, I think it was the lieutenant governor who's also talking about this, specifically in Greenwich and New Canaan today. It was something like 62% of all stores across the United States who are small businesses. If they don't get their revenue up for the holiday season, that is going to be their last straw. That is going to mean shutting down. What does Connecticut look like? How are we doing with our local shops? Are we seeing that we're probably going to have to shut down a lot of our local shops because we just can't get our revenue up?
I hate to make really dire predictions. I'm hoping they'll have a good holiday shopping season. It's one of the times of year that are most important to retailers, and particularly small retailers. They are the backbone and job creation of our economy. Small businesses create more jobs than any other sector. But I'm hoping that there'll be not only a good shopping season, but also a pandemic relief bill in Washington that will offer another round of what's known as PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, and enable them to borrow or receive grants that will get them through this chasm of economic difficulty.
Are we getting any closer to another relief bill? I know that was something that was being worked on for a while, and then the election kind of came and put a halt to that.
I feel there are glimmers of hope now that the election is done, because the need is so dire. And by the way, there are no red states or blue states when it comes to challenges to retail activity. It's really the whole country that is affected. Small businesses all around the country, restaurants hanging by a thread, small businesses struggling to survive. We want them to not only survive, but do well. And so I wish everyone a great Thanksgiving and a wonderful shopping season.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep our local shops afloat. Thank you so much, Senator Richard Blumenthal. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Melissa.
.com. That's GoDuchess.com.
Back to Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
And joining me this morning is Congressman Jim Himes. I know Congressman Himes usually comes on a Friday, but I feel like it's been like 3 weeks, Congressman Himes, that I've not talked to you because I had COVID. We've got the holiday this week. So I'm glad you could pop on this morning. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm fine, thank you. And I'm delighted you're back and healthy.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah, COVID is for everybody.
Yeah, COVID's crazy, which obviously, you know, I was actually glad that I could chat with you because, as you know, the most recent congressman to now contract COVID is Joe Courtney, our own Joe Courtney here in Connecticut. What was sort of your thought on that? But also, it seems like we're seeing a lot of our representatives in Congress are contracting COVID.
Yeah, so two of the five here in Connecticut have, because, of course, Johanna Hayes of the northwestern corner of the state had it. Well, you know, two things. One, Joe happens to live with a Colorado congressman who got diagnosed positive. They share an apartment, so I wasn't hugely surprised. Unfortunately, Joe did the right thing. He got tested, weirdly tested negative, but instead of getting on a plane to go back to Connecticut, he actually rented a car and drove himself alone. So that was a good thing for him to have done instead of going through an airport. But that leads me to my second point. You know, our job requires us every week to, you know, get on a plane or a train, go through an airport or a train station. And in Washington, we're taking lots of precautions. You know, most people are working from home, but you can't help, you know, coming across lots of other people. So I guess it's not surprising to me that, my colleagues are probably picking it up at a rate a little faster than folks that are able to do their work entirely from home.
Mm-hmm. I'm also glad Mr. Courtney did not take his negative test lightly, because I, too, tested negative the first time around, and it was a false negative. So I'm glad that he kind of, you know, if you even have any inkling of like, this doesn't seem right, I'm glad that he went with that gut feeling and didn't get on a plane. That was really smart of him. What are things going to look like at this point, Congressman Himes? You know, if we're going to continue to see, it was just yesterday, actually, that Yale New Haven, one of their top doctors there, said, you know, we're probably not even going to peak until Christmas. So what is sort of things looking like on a national scale, you guys meeting and making decisions, when it sounds like it's going to be hard to even do that in person for a while, I would think?
Well, we're still planning on it. Fortunately, they finally put in place pretty much 24-hour testing in the Capitol. So at least the people who are in the Capitol, people like me, are going to have the capacity to know, you know, to test every day if we need to. And that gets back to the fact that, you know, again, we're a little bit more exposed than people who can work from home. But the other thing I would point out is that, you know, in the House, we've got provisions for proxy voting. So pretty much every vote we have, there's 435 members of the House, you know, some 60 or 70 people are voting by proxy. That means they can actually vote from home. There's an elaborate process to make sure that it's secure and all that good stuff. But no, I expect we'll be able to continue. And look, we have to continue because we, number one, the budget expires in about 2 weeks, and we need to make sure the government doesn't shut down. You know, it's bad enough that we haven't had been able in Washington to pass a coronavirus package. And because things are a lot worse now than they were 2 months ago, that makes that doubly urgent. So my hope is that in the lame duck period, which lasts between now and January, we can get both this budget done, which I think we will, but also get a meaningful relief package for those restaurants, for those individuals who are out of work. You know, we've been talking about this for weeks, and it's just terrible that that it hasn't gotten done.
Congressman Jim Himes is here this morning. And Congressman Himes, I'm sure you read this study or maybe you heard about it, but a recent study is showing that 62% of U.S. small businesses reported that they need to see consumer spending return to pre-COVID levels by the end of 2020, or else they're going to have to shut down business altogether. So I know that here in Connecticut, I know a lot of our state local leaders are working hard to try and get people to shop locally. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I love our local shops. I know that if we don't support them now, this time next year, they're not going to be here, and we're going to regret that we didn't do something for them. That being said, though, I think I'd be naive to sit here and say I think people are going to go out in droves and shop in person when I believe they're going to keep shopping online through the holidays. So do we know, like, you know, at this point, you know, what would be the earliest, I guess, if you could give us even like a timeline of some kind of relief for our small businesses? I know you had mentioned restaurants, but like our small shops in Connecticut, the mom and pop shops, anything like that. Do you know like the earliest that they maybe could see relief if we don't see pre-COVID numbers go up by the end of 2020?
Yeah, let me take a stab at that. But let me also point out, and this is really important, let me also point out that almost every shop, almost every retailer out there has provisions for things like curbside pickup and other ways, you know, delivery, other ways to patronize them. And you're right, it's really important because there are so many businesses that are hanging on by their fingernails. So it is really worth having people lean into making sure that they support those businesses. You know, if you were going to buy a new round of suits or a couple of shirts and you were thinking you might do that next year, you know, it's nice to think about doing that sooner than you might have otherwise done it, because I think we are in the critical period right now. We've seen a huge uptick, right? And we've got Thanksgiving coming, and there's just no way, you know, you just look at the pictures of people in airports, there's no way that that's not going to keep this uptick going. But we also have that vaccine on the horizon, right? And that is going to be available. It's going to take months, right? We're not talking about days or weeks, but it's going to take months. But we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So right now is really a moment to get people, individuals, which are the most important thing, through this, you know, particularly those who might be at risk of death or of some serious case, and to help those businesses. To your question, you know, we had the presidential election in there, which, of course, took up an awful lot of the air in the room. My hope is that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, as we start, you know, getting towards the Christmas and end of year season, that we get at least another round of what you'll recall the PPP. That was the program that gave money to small businesses, and another round of unemployment insurance. Those two things are really critical. You know, in the longer run, there's other stuff that's critical, like aid to the state of Connecticut, which has had to, you know, pay out a lot of extra money without seeing the revenues that it traditionally sees. But those two things, the small business assistance and the assistance for people who are out of work, are really essential in the next couple of weeks.
No question. Well, Congressman Jim Himes, thank you so much for coming on this morning. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you, Melissa. You too, and so glad you're back and healthy.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. This is sponsored by United Healthcare, America's number one Medicare plan provider. Visit UHCMedicareSolutions.com to learn more. That's UHCMedicareSolutions.com. Let's check on traffic and weather, and we'll be right back with more on WICC 600.
Listen all morning through your Amazon Echo. It's Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Good morning, 7:39. We are checking in now with Julius Dudix, who is our counselor here on WICC's The Morning Show. And Julius, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Julius, I think more than ever, I would love your tips. I think our listeners would love your tips as well. We are coming up on Thanksgiving, but I think it's no secret this is totally different than any other Thanksgiving that most people have ever gone through because of COVID. Did you have any tips or guidance to have grateful hearts?
Yeah, a grateful heart is so powerful. Gratitude is such a powerful emotion. And there are so many people that carry negativity, and they've taught themselves to carry the negativity. And it's debilitating, and it's sad. And that's why when I do counseling individuals that wrestle with depression or anxiety, a lot of times I'll look backwards and take a look at their family background, their mom, their grandmother, their grandfather. And a lot of times that negativity is passed from generation to generation to generation. So you've got to just kind of stop yourself, slow down, and ask yourself, am I a negative person? Am I a critical person? Because you can teach yourself to be that way, or you can teach yourself to be positive.
So if you could take a step back and say you look in the mirror and you go, wow, I guess I am kind of a negative person, or I'm a pessimist, or I'm a glass half empty kind of a person.
Yeah.
How do you even begin to change that, especially if it's genetic?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the first step is to acknowledge it, because a lot of people can't even see it. A lot of people with anger issues don't even hear themselves when they explode, and they've got explosive personality disorder, for instance, and they've seen their mother or father or grandmother explode for years, and it's carried on from generation to generation. So just stop yourself and ask yourself, you know, do I really have a negative critical spirit? And it takes humility. It takes a little bit of a dropping of the pride and the ego to really ask that question. But there's so many, many positive benefits of gratitude. You know, keeping a gratitude journal is something you can do. You know, you can vow to practice gratitude. I always tell people that a lot of times when you make a vow, you're more apt to keep it. Sometimes you do break it, but at least you're starting somewheres. A lot of times, if you remember the bad times, it'll help you to appreciate the good times. And so sometimes looking backward at your life and some of the negative experiences can help you appreciate the positive experiences. But gratitude is very powerful.
Talking to Julius Dudix this morning, our counselor on WICC 600. And, you know, Julius, I was telling our listeners yesterday that when I was going through COVID last week, you know, in the initial parts of it, you sit there and you go, God, why do I have this? Why are you doing this to me? Why am I going through this? And, you know, I think it's human nature that we feel bad for ourselves. Like we really go through this phase of, let me feel bad for myself. Let me pity myself. Let me feel like I'm the only one going through this. And then you kind of come into a reality of, okay, hold on, wait a second. The entire world is going through this in some capacity, has already gone through this illness, or may even go through it at some point. And there's this idea, at least for me, that things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And I just am wondering, you know, with COVID and with a lot that honestly has come with 2020, how we can start to shift our minds instead of even going through, let me feel bad for myself right now. Let me feel like I deserve pity right now. How do we kind of lose that step altogether? Because I find, as strong of a Christian as I am, and as strong as I feel my faith is, and as strong as my prayer life is, I still find, I will admit that I go through the feel bad for myself phase all the time.
Yeah. You know, that's a great question. And we all have to acknowledge the fact that we do feel bad for ourselves. And some of us feel entitled, and some of us get self-absorbed. And those are massive impediments to gratitude. To appreciate the little things, family, for instance. You know, we always talk about how important family is, and everybody, a lot of people are sad because they can't be with their families on Thanksgiving. But mm-hmm. think about how you treat your family during the entire year. Mm-hmm. Or look at the World Trade Center, when they were hit, everybody rushed out of New York to go towards family. Family is a point of gratitude. Family can be a point of frustration also. But what you have to do is take a step back and say, instead of my crazy mother-in-law or crazy father-in-law, what do they do well? How can I appreciate them? How can I show gratitude to them? Mm-hmm. What act of kindness can I do toward them? And then to your point, as a Christian, pray and ask God's help. God's presence in your life can well up and can give you that ability to love when you don't feel like loving, because love is a choice, and choosing gratitude is a choice as well. Mm-hmm. And we have that choice daily. You can train yourself to be a person of gratitude, or you can train yourself to be negative. It's almost like every thought that we do, every action we do fires these neurons in our brains. And these neural pathways are fired. The more they're fired in a positive way, the easier it is for them to become activated. And so you repeat them, repeat acts of kindness, and the easier it is to do them in the future. You can retrain your brain through cognitive restructuring to be a person of gratitude. But again, God's power within you can do that as well, in terms of experiencing His peace and His joy and His love, because we were created in His image to love.
Yeah, I love that. And it's kind of like the same thing as when you go to a gym, you go to work out, you go to better your body and all that. It's that same thing. You have to work on being gracious and having gratitude. Yeah. So true. Yeah. It is. It's like a workout. Wow. Yeah. I love that.
It's almost just simple things. Writing somebody a note, opening a door for somebody, just practicing good intentions for young moms and dads, training your children to be filled with gratitude as opposed to negativity. And they're watching your example as they grow. And values are caught and not taught. And so the whole point is for young families, especially as I deal with young families, I always encourage moms and dads, the best thing you do for your children is to love each other. The best thing you could do is to model gratitude. And it really does help you physically. It's a proven fact that those people who experience gratitude are able to feel healthier. They get better sleep. More people like you. It increases your friendships. It reduces your blood pressure, reduces depressive symptoms. The list goes on and on. But there's a lot of power in gratitude.
Yeah, there really is. Julius, if anybody wants help from you, they want to talk to you a little bit more about this topic, how do they reach out?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn or Facebook or www.bark. Bark.com is a website that I have. Another way is to just call simply 203-243-7714.
Simple enough. Well, Julius Dudix, we always appreciate getting your insight, especially during the holiday season, with a great topic, having a gratitude heart. I love that. Thank you so much.
All right, Melissa, you have a good day.
You too. This is sponsored by United Healthcare, America's number one Medicare plan provider. Visit UHCMedicareSolutions.com to learn more.